Hallelujah. So let's welcome him as he comes. And if you're in the growth class with Brother Hagedorn or with myself, please make your way back over to the Sunday School building. Brother Jeremy's preached to us, Brother Wilbeck's preached to us, and we're glad you're here.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. So good to be here. I love it. I told Brother Reggie that I normally, when I come here, I try to hold back a little bit because you guys are so reserved. Very reserved group of people. Not very excitable. Just kidding. If this is your first time here, all you got to do is look around. They're like this all the time. The reason they don't have chandeliers in here is because they don't want anybody ripping them. Well, I guess you do have chandeliers. Is that a chandelier? All right. Well, throw that one away. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Exodus. We will also read from the book of Judges. Exodus chapter number 14. Judges chapter 6. Exodus 14 verse 13 says this: And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Moses said, Stand still. The Lord's going to fight for you. Then verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Moses said, You guys stand still. Watch the Lord work. And God says, Moses, why are you calling on me? He said, Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. That they go forward. Hallelujah. I would like to take my title from that last passage. Go forward. I am preaching tonight from those two words. Go forward. Judges chapter 6, verse number 8. Verse 8 says, That the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you and drave them out from before you. This is what we just read about in Exodus. Drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which is in Ophrah. Not Oprah. Ophrah. Oprah's not everywhere. This is Ophrah. That pertained unto Joash. The oak pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Hallelujah. Want to preach? I do not want to preach very long tonight. So if you guys will preach with me, we'll preach hard, fast, and do it in 20 minutes. And let the Holy Ghost work for an hour and a half if he wants to. How many are for the Holy Ghost having its way tonight? Holy Ghost preaches a lot better than I can preach. Does a lot more than I can do. It can do in 10 seconds what I can't do in 10 years. And I want God to touch us. Let's lay our Bibles down. Let's lift our hands. Let's talk to the Lord one more time. Jesus, I love you. God, you are so good. You are so wonderful. You are merciful. You are gracious unto us. God, let your word speak tonight. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And the Lord bless you. Shake hands with your neighbor. If they're a guest, tell them you're so glad they're here. Hallelujah. It's time for us as Pentecostals and apostolics to begin to take some territory. It's time for us to go forward. I love everything that we do, but it's time for us to get up from where we're at in the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean I have to get up and run around. That just means I have to get up in the Holy Ghost. Generally, if you get up in the Holy Ghost, you get up and run around or jump up and down or wave your hand. But it's time for me. It is time for you to get up from where we are at. Well, this is a good spot. Yes, it is a good spot. This has been a blessed spot. Yes, it's been a blessed spot. It is still a blessed spot. We've had a lot of revival in this spot. Yes, and we'll have revival if we stay in this spot. But there is something that God is wanting to do in this church, to this local body of people, that he cannot do in this spot, but he is calling you, he is wooing you, he is pulling you. It is time to get up and go forward. Hallelujah. It's time to step into promise. It's time to step into blessing. It's time to step into anointing. Am I preaching to anybody that wants apostolic fire in the house tonight? Hallelujah. It's time to get up and go forward. I want to live out the promise of God. New Testament tells me that if I've been baptized into Christ, I am Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise? That in blessing I will bless thee, and I will bless all the families of the earth through thee, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and through thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's the promise that I am an heir to. What is the blessing of Abraham? The blessing of Abraham begins when you get the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues like they did in the book of Acts. After you've repented of your sins and you've been baptized in the name of Jesus, that puts you into Christ and makes you an heir of Abraham, an heir according to the promise. And you get up and you go forward into the promises of Jesus Christ. I want to live out the promise. Hallelujah. I want to be the head and not the tail. I want to be the lender and not the borrower. I want to have spiritual dominion in my city. I want to have spiritual dominion on my job. Hallelujah. So that's what we got to have if we're going to have the revival that we say we want. We've got to be able to operate in spiritual dominion. Hallelujah. We have to walk knowing who we are. We have to talk understanding the authority of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I just feel God wants to do something so profound and so powerful in this house tonight. It's got a hold of me. I was praying about it the other day, walking back and forth in the auditorium. And I said, God, you do whatever you have to do. And I was praying about some of the people that I help lead. God, you do whatever you have to do and start pricking us and spurring us on into the things that you want us to do. Because it's so easy to become comfortable. Being comfortable is the worst disease. It is the worst enemy of an apostolic Pentecostal child of God. I refuse to be comfortable. I refuse to sit back. I've got to have a move of God. If I don't have revival, I don't need any. I can't. There's nothing else I want more than this. Hallelujah. And I begin to pray, God, if I don't have hope of astounding, earth-shaking revival in my day, would you please just take me on now? But I'm telling you, we have more than a hope. We have a blessed assurance that on all nations and on all flesh, his spirit has already been poured out, and I get to work, and I get to operate, and I get to party, and I get to rejoice in his spirit. Hallelujah. Lord bless you. Be seated. If you want to. If you don't, stand up. Last night we had a young man. He'd been coming to church for a little bit. There was stuff happening all over the place, but he captured my attention about right down here praying. And some of the young men were around him. He's about 17, had a baseball scholarship. I don't know to what school, but he messed it up. I don't know what that means. That's just what I was told. He messed up a baseball scholarship, ended up in church. Bless his heart. And he's standing there. And I walk up and people are praying with him. And the Holy Ghost is, it's just happening all around him. It's just happening all around. It's like crackling electricity, little blue spark. Maybe you can't see stuff like that. I really can't, but that's just my imagination saying it's just happening. And it's happening all around him. And I walk up and I listen to him. And I could tell, okay, I'm listening to somebody that maybe this might be his first time ever to pray. Never. Just the way he's talking to God. He doesn't understand how easy it is to come to God. He's trying. He's gritting his teeth. He's shaking his head. He's got tears and he's got sweat running down his face. And he's got 20 hands on top of his head. You'll either get the Holy Ghost in our altar or you'll wish you had. One of the two. No, I'm just kidding. We're very gentle. And we're praying for him. And I'm down there and I'm listening to him. And I kind of encourage him a little bit. And there's somebody already working with him. So I'm not wanting to barge in. And so I kind of back off. And I start praying for somebody else. And the Holy Ghost hits that person. And he's been coming to church for about 2 or 3 months. Never got the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost hits him. And he's doing things that he probably said, I'll never do that. Some of you guests that walked in here tonight, we are a little bit crazy. And we like it. I know it's nothing big like a touchdown or a 3-point basket or our team winning the championship, but it's this kind of big. It's, I used to be lost and now I'm found. And if you can run and you can shout for your team scoring a point, I can run and I can shout for the God that saved my soul from hell. Well, I thought church was supposed to be reverent. This is reverent, baby. This is. Woo! This sends up a sweet-smelling savor into the nostrils of God. And so all of a sudden, I walk back up on the platform after praying for this other guy. And I turn around and I look. And this guy that has sounds like he's never prayed before, or maybe just a very few times. And he is talking in tongues as the Spirit gave him the utterance and God filled him. And we baptized him in the name of Jesus for the remission of his sin. And there was so much that happened off of that young man getting the Holy Ghost that I don't understand all the ramifications of it. But what happened was this. When we decided to step forward, there's a situation that we stepped forward in that this man was a direct product of. I'm so excited. I shout with you that you've had 30-something people get the Holy Ghost in how many? Two services? One week. That's incredible. That's 30-something people that aren't going to hell anymore. That's not 30 more that come to our church. That's 30 more people that the devil doesn't have his hands on anymore. But I'm here to tell you, that's just getting started with what God wants to do in the city of Birmingham. That's just getting started with what God wants to do with this church. Hallelujah. It's time to go forward. Everybody say it's time to go forward. We started an outreach initiative. We wanted to do something that we'd never done before. And so I came up with 2 or 3 ideas. And some other people came up with some ideas, which is what I really wanted. Because, we just won't go into that. I just like other people's ideas too. And they'll follow them and they'll run with them. And so we got started with them, and one of them, it's kind of developing a presence in the community, and we're going to start seeing some people come in off of that. And we got some people that got started with the Department of Human Resources in our city, and we went there for the first, not really a service, we can't call it a service, but we went there for the first deal where we could help abused women and children at the DHR. And they were blown away. We were just doing puppets and had all these little kids. And, you know, adults, I love puppets. I'll go to a puppet seminar in a heartbeat, and I don't do puppets anymore. But the Holy Ghost touched some of them, and we've been able to talk to some of them after that. And we just took a step forward into that. About a month later, after we've started this, going on Monday nights and working with the Department of Human Resources, about a month later, this lady calls the people that are doing it, from our church that are in charge of this kind of outreach, and they said, you know, I've got to go on vacation, and I can't think of anybody I would trust more to run the Department of Human Resources for the city of Cullman than you people. And we're blown away. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. If you'll take a step forward, there is not a door that my God cannot, there is not a door that my God will not open for you. Not one single door. Yeah. Hallelujah. So it's time to go forward. Everybody say, let's go forward. Hallelujah. The funny thing about going forward is you got to leave where you're at. It's a novel idea. If you're going to go forward, you got to get up from where you're at and leave where you're at. Nothing is so deadly for a child of God or for a church body as sitting still. We're kind of working a little bit here tonight. And God wants to touch you here tonight. So just hook up here. We need to be taking territory. We are the dominant force in the universe today. I may not live like it. You may not live like it. We may not talk like it. We may not understand that we are, but we are. And we might not recognize it on Thursday morning when we get up and drinking our coffee and getting ready to go to work, but the devil recognizes it. And God recognizes it. We are the dominant force in the universe today. Why? Because I have the Spirit of Almighty God inside of me. I can speak things that are not as though they are. That's the Word of God. I can speak to things. I can speak to a mountain and say, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. We must be ready to take territory. I love our singing. I love our worship. I love our services. I love our heritage. I love all of it. I love the way we dance. I love the way we dress. I love it. I love all of it. But I am not comfortable, nor am I satisfied with where we are at and what we have attained. We have experienced growth. We have experienced blessing. We've experienced great and powerful touches of God. But the next great moves of God are only going to come when you and I go forward and begin to take territory. I believe we need to have the biggest church in the city right here. With this group of people. Not so we can say we got the biggest church in the city, but because we're saving people from hell and taking them to heaven. And we got the only thing that's going to last, and we got the only thing that's going to taste good when you drink it the first time. And it's going to taste even better when you drink it the next time. Hallelujah. I just feel the Holy Ghost in here tonight. You mind if we just love the Lord for a minute? You mind if we just lift our hands and love the Lord for a minute? I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Too often, we talk about victory like this. I got victory. You go up to somebody and say, praise the Lord, brother, praise the Lord, sister. Do you have the victory? Yes, I've got the victory. And most of the time, when we talk about having victory, that means the devil was pestering me, and I prayed, and now the devil's not pestering me anymore. I got the victory. Or my husband or my wife was doing such and such, and I didn't like it. It wasn't right. I prayed. And now it's right, I got the victory. Or my teenager was hooked on this or was running around and doing this, and I prayed, and they're not doing that anymore, I've got the victory. That's how we talk about getting victory most of the time. But there's a little bit of a change that I think needs to happen. Victory isn't just because we got rid of some pesky stuff that was bugging us. You know, one of the songs, if you guys sing this, I'm not picking on you. Okay, I'm not picking on you. I love you. I like to come here and preach. So if you guys sing this, don't get offended by this. One of the songs I just do not like, okay, is I'm going to the enemy's camp to take back everything he stole from me. Don't let the devil steal your stuff. Don't go back and get what you're supposed to keep. That's not victory. You got back to where you're supposed to be. This is where you're supposed to live. Victory needs to come when we start taking territory. When we go forward, that's the victory we need to talk about. I felt a little something there. Don't let the devil take your stuff. Meet him at the gate. You know, it's like 2 Samuel 23. It's talking about David's mighty men of valor. These be the mighty men that were with David at the end of his life. And you're reading about all of them. And there's a guy that was by himself that stood in a lentil field, beans, black-eyed peas. And he's standing in a lentil field, and the enemy comes in, and he's fighting him by himself over a bean patch. Hey, Bob, it's beans. But we don't let the devil have our beans. Because as one preacher said, the bean patch is next to the corn patch, is next to the cabbage patch, is next to the barn, is next to the house. And if I give him the beans, he's going to want the corn, and then he's going to want the cabbage. So I don't give the devil beans. Don't let the devil take your stuff. Some of you that need victory in your life tonight, you need to get a new resolve about you. That when the devil comes in, he's not stealing anything. He's going to meet a fiery-eyed apostolic. Let's clap our hands. Let's love the Lord. All right. Wrap it up. We read our text in Exodus. Moses says, stand still. They're at the Red Sea. Enemies behind them. Mountains on either side. Red Sea in front of them. Stand still, Moses said. And see the salvation of the Lord. And all these Egyptians that you're seeing today, you're not going to see them anymore. No more of these Egyptians. And God talks to Moses, and he says, why are you talking to me about this, Moses? Well, I just told him to stand still, that you were going to work. Why'd you tell him I was going to work? Tell the people, go forward.
Is that what God meant?
Yeah. Tell the people, go forward.
And they go forward. And they enter into the promised land. Now, we're going to race forward to the book of Judges. And we're going to be, let's look at it this way. This is my imagination. My imagination.
There's a wine press. Wine press. The wine presses I've seen in Napa, California, they look like a big barrel that's been cut in half. And some of them have like a flat piece that goes down in it, the width of the barrel, and it's got a screw on the top of it that you tighten down. It's like a vise. You're tightening a vise down, and it crushes the grapes. And then there's others that people walk on. They walk on the grapes, and the juice runs out and is filtered. I imagine that this is probably where Gideon is at. He is hiding behind, some people say, behind, scripture says, the English Bible says behind. Some people say that he might have been actually hiding in the wine press. And he's threshing wheat. Those are wheat threshing sounds. And
He's stretching a little weak. And I can see him as he peeks out from behind that wine press. And he's looking for me.
And he comes walking out with his apron full of freshly threshed wheat.
The smell of freshly threshed wheat. If you've ever smelled freshly threshed wheat.
And there's an angel standing under an oak tree and looks at him and says, Gideon! Ah! I almost dropped my freshly threshed wheat. Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon says, you're probably talking about the Gideon from the tribe of Issachar, and they live up the river. This is Benjamin. This is the tribe of Benjamin, and I'm the wrong Gideon. You probably want the guy from up here. No, I'm talking to you, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Paraphrasing, God wants to deliver Midian into your hand. Now I know. Probably you're not talking about the Gideon from Issachar. You're probably talking about the one from Judah. Those boys fight. They'd rather fight than eat. You need to go talk to the Gideon that lives in Judah. No, I'm talking to you, Gideon. Well, look. If this is really how you want me to do it, I'm going to put a fleece out off of a sheep. And I'm leaving it out overnight. And one day I want the fleece to be dry and the ground to be wet with dew. And the next day I want the fleece to be wet and the ground to be dry. They go through this process. And it happens. Dew! I can't believe it. Happened just the way I asked it would happen. And so he gets his buddy and they sneak into the enemy's camp. They're going back to look, see if they find any of your stuff there. And they sneak up and they put their ear on the wall of a tent and they hear these two guys talking, two Midianites talking. And one of them says, man, I just had this dream. I just woke up. And the other one must have had the gift of interpretation of dreams, because one of them says, I saw a barley loaf. Like bread. A barley loaf came rolling into camp and smote one of the tents and knocked them all down flat. And the other guy must have had the gift of interpretation of dreams, and he said, that has to be Gideon. I don't know how he got Gideon out of the barley loaf. I don't know. But Gideon hears this and he goes running back. Now, I want to point out a little something different. I think I preached about this here before, so we're going to jump off of it for just a minute. Two major things that's going on in every apostolic church, every truly apostolic church. God is calling people out. He's setting people free. He's offering a trade. You give me your addiction, I'll give you liberty. You give me your bondage, I'll give you freedom. You give me the spirit that you're bound with, and I'll give you the spirit that will let you live forever with me, okay? He's offering a trade. It's a pretty good trade. God is calling people out. That's the first thing. The second thing that is happening in every truly apostolic church is God is empowering people. If you read Exodus through Deuteronomy, and then you read the book of Joshua, Joshua starts a little bit different. You could see that. You could see the difference between the Exodus to Deuteronomy and the book of Joshua. Exodus to Deuteronomy, the children of Israel try to go in. They send in 12 spies. 10 of them come back with a negative report. 2 of them come back with a positive report. But Joshua has a little better idea. He said, I'm only going to send 2, and I'm picking them. Now, I'll say this to you. Don't everybody have to believe that this revival is going to happen? If we can just get a couple of you, we'll blow the lid off this thing. All right. And you know what? Let me read it to you. This is what, just so you think I'm not making this up. This is what God said through the prophet in the book of Judges. What you notice is, he kind of gives you, he kind of juxtaposes the Exodus coming out and the Joshua coming in and living in promise. This is what he said. Send a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Notice this. I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. But he changes the face of deliverance
with Gideon. He said to the children of Israel, I brought you out and I delivered you out of their hand. But Gideon, now that you're in promise, I'm not delivering you out anymore. I'm delivering them into your hand. Oh, somebody ought to shout about that. I'll do it. When you live in promise, God gives you power. And not the power that you think he's going to give you. You know, I like to walk into an elevator at a hospital, push my button, stand there, and somebody get on the next floor and say, are you a preacher? Yes, I am. Or somebody look at my wife and say, are you a Pentecostal?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. I like that. Presence. Sometimes they ask, are you a cop? Well, no, not real. I'm not. I like that. Image. Okay. But God is not giving you power like you think he's giving you power. Because God told Gideon, tell everybody that's afraid to go home. And half of them go home. Tell everybody that doesn't know how to drink water like a warrior to go home. And another half of them go home. And he's gone from thousands to hundreds. Ah, that's not how you win a war. God, whoever has the mostest, does the bestest. And they don't even use swords. They use a trumpet, and they use a pitcher with a light in it. Not like a Coke bottle that you break. They didn't even have those kind of weapons. You know, back off, back off. They didn't even have one of those. Okay? They had a light in it, and when they broke the pitcher, they were supposed to blow the trumpet and shout, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. God is giving you power, but not like you think. But I honestly believe that you begin to recognize it the instant you begin to blow the trumpet and show the light. When you get up and go forward, and God wins the battle. Let's rewind for just a second. Gideon doesn't know any of this. And him and this angel are talking. And this is where some of us are at. I'm almost done. This is where some of us are at. God says, get up, thou mighty man of valor. I want to deliver the enemy into your hand. And Gideon says, I just figured this wheat threshing out. Leave me alone. I just figured out how to do this and not get clobbered every time. I just figured out how to do this without the enemy coming in and burning the fields. I got a little wheat, taking it home. Me and my family are going to eat it. Tomorrow, I'm going to be back, thresh a little wheat, eat a little wheat. Okay? And that's where some of us are at. Blessed. We're threshing wheat every day. We're eating every day. And the angel says, I want you to understand something, Gideon. I've given you the Midianites. I'm putting the Midianites into your hand. God, I just thresh wheat. God, I'm just a Sunday school. I'm just a home Bible study teacher. And all that's good. And we got people teaching home Bible studies. But I can't wait until we got people praying folks through on the street corner that they didn't meet yet. They don't even know their name. I can't wait till it happens. All right. was fast. But okay, we'll just skip that. There's a young man. There's a young man that I worked with in San Diego, and I'm closing. Somebody come play the piano, make him feel better. There's a young man that I worked with in San Diego, and he was very withdrawn. He was very almost backward. He was very intelligent, but it had some scholastic problems in school and hadn't made the grades, was probably a couple years behind. School, very intelligent, had nothing to do with his intelligence, had nothing to do with his capacity to do it. But he had tried homeschooling anyway, and he'd just fallen behind. And every part of life was just, you could tell he's picked on a little bit. And we were doing kids outreach, going and picking up kids every morning for Sunday school, filling up a van and cars. We didn't have a bus, so we just filled them up as much as we could. Had kids' church every Sunday, praying kids through to the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost prompted me to start using this boy. And he said, I want you to have him do some things in kids' church. I said, okay. So I asked him to start writing skits for kids' church. No big deal. Just writing skits. But he was getting out of the wine press. He didn't know that. It was time to go forward. He didn't know that. And I talked to him. I said, look, I want you to start writing some of these Bible skits for kids' church. Oh, Brother Wilbanks, I can't do that. I said, well, sure you can. He said, oh, please don't make me do that. Please don't make me do that. I said, well, wasn't my idea. God wants you to do it. Write skits? Yes, write it. 2 weeks later, his first skit went off with a bang. I said, okay, every 2 weeks, you're writing skits. Oh, it's like I just got through that one. Now you put it on me twice a month. Yeah, good job. So he's writing these skits. I left about 6 months after this young man started writing skits. I got a call about 2 months ago now. And I was talking to his pastor. And I talked to his pastor's son. I said, hey, and I called him by name. How's he doing? I said, oh, you haven't heard about that? No. What happened? He said, you're not going to believe the difference in that kid. He got up and preached 2 weeks ago. And blew the whole church wide open. And people got the Holy Ghost. God is telling somebody in this house tonight, it's time to get up and go forward. It's time to get out of the wine press and go forward. Hallelujah. Let's stand all over the house. Let's give God some praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Brother Jeff Kuhorn is the Sunday school director at our church. When he got the Holy Ghost, he got it on a night. The preacher was preaching, and he was walking up and down the aisles, you know, the way preachers do. Preaching away, red in the face, sweating, scaring everybody that doesn't know him. And this man and his wife are sitting on the back row, and he turns and comments to his wife that what he is seeing in this Pentecostal church reminds him a lot of food that has been processed by a male cow. He didn't say it that way. He said it another way. And the preacher, he literally said that in church. And the preacher came to him and said, out of the mic, he said, this is what you think about this church. And he didn't. He said it to him. And he jumped back and he got up immediately and walked to the front. And God filled him with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Today, he's the one that's running the DHR in the city of Coleman when the people go on vacation. Today, he was praying people through to the Holy Ghost last night in that altar. I think it's this coming Saturday. They've given him a whole hour in the park in Coleman so that he could do a puppet show and minister to kids that are coming through the park on that day. And God is using him, and the anointing of God is on him. From the guttermost, God can pick you up and empower you to go forward. Hallelujah. I wonder if there's anybody in the house that would say, you know what? I want to go forward. Doesn't mean that you're not going forward. Doesn't mean that you're bad. I believe everybody in here is great. If you're not, don't tell me. I like believing that you're great because I know that you're great. God wouldn't have invested in you if you weren't great. But God wants to pull you out and wants to draw you forward. Is there anybody in the house tonight? Everybody will come in a minute. Why don't you come on down? Let the Holy Ghost touch you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. When you get down here, just lift your hand. If the Holy Ghost is telling you to, why don't you find somebody and pray with them tonight? In the name of Jesus. Let the power of the Holy Ghost get a hold of you. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. Let's all find somebody and pray with them right now. Let's bind together before we leave tonight. Oh Lord, you're worthy.
Let's give God a hand clap of praise for the word that we heard tonight. Brother Wilbanks, we appreciate you being a vessel in the house, speaking what thus saith the word of God. We've heard this week the pastor held up the word and said, ring-a-ling-a-ling, wake up. It's time to wake up. There's a city that's hurting, that's lost, that's desperate. I taught the kids Sunday morning, the door is coming to a close. We talked about Noah and the ark and the fact that time is really short. We don't have a lot of time left. And last night at Tuesday night prayer, the Holy Ghost moved in a mighty way. And we had a word from God in this house. We had some of our elders come across the front. And those who felt a commission to go to teach Bible studies, to walk in the anointing, to do the work of the church, stood in front of them. And the Holy Ghost moved in a mighty way. And Brother Wilbanks was right in the Holy Ghost tonight with this word. Let's move forward. If you're interested, we're having outreach this Saturday from 8. Well, we're having outreach from 9 to 12, but we're going to meet at 8 o'clock for prayer. Our pastor's been talking quite a bit about being led of the Spirit. And we don't want to just go and knock on a door, but we want to go and knock on a specific door. And we want to find a Cornelius. We want to find a Gary Ellis. And we're looking, we're searching for a hungry vessel. So if you're interested, we're going to be meeting tonight in the conference room. And all hands that are available, we would love to have you. Otherwise, love somebody around you, and you're dismissed in Jesus' name.